Good morning. Welcome to the Up and Running Morning Show on 98.1 KZE. I'm Rick, your host, and joining us live in the studio is our friend and neighbor, Joe Lewis Walker. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick. Good morning, everybody.
It's great to have you here, Joe.
Oh, man, it's good to be back.
Yeah, so you have a show coming up at the Town Crier, and that's Saturday night, 8:30 show tomorrow night. So who are you bringing with you to the stage, or is it just JLW solo?
Well, I have the same band that I've been working with. We made an album together called The Weight of the World. I call it the Weight of the World Band because we had all original material that we had to come up with, to arrange and it turned out pretty good because a lot of people seemed to got a good reception off that, and that was about 15 months ago, maybe a little bit more. And it last had, and now we have we're doing some of the reimagining of some of my older material, which I'm releasing along with Valley Entertainment and my own label called Bluesifying Productions. And the first one is called Cold is the Night, reimagined. And I brought my friend Eliza Neals in to sing sort of a foil to me, because when we originally made the record in 85, we couldn't afford it. we had budget to sleep on the floor and make the record in 4 days, and that was it.
Well, the song that we just heard a little while back, One Woman Reimagined, that was recorded in 1985. I really wasn't familiar with that cut.
Yeah. Well, Cold as the Night, the album came out in 1985. And that was the first blues album that I'd done under my own. I won't say blues per se, because it wasn't a heck of a lot of it was at the time they called it contemporary blues, because it had a lot of tunes and different grooves and things like that, and songs that I wrote coming out of the gospel group. I just come out of gospel for 10 years, so it was a mixture of all my background.
So coming from gospel music, which, well, is spiritual and more or less blues incorporated, progressing to the blues as your direction, was that a challenge or did it go smoothly?
Well, I played blues before I played gospel.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I was 12, 13, 14, I was playing blues with my cousins. I got to be honest, when we played for the Elks clubs and for men's club and for women's clubs and for dances and sock hops and we played skating rank and whatever. We played what was popular mostly of the day, but we did play blues also. It was just something that, you know, my father brought with him from Mississippi, my mother brought with her from Arkansas. So me being the youngest of the cousins who played, I got all the trickle down, you know. So we would play stuff like Junior Walking All-Stars, Road Runner, and then we would play Big J McNeely. Is it something on my mind? You know, and so, you know, it was just, we were playing things that people liked in our neighborhood. I'm from the Fillmore District in San Francisco.
So being from the Fillmore District, especially around that time, you had the Airplane, you had the Grateful Dead.
No, they weren't there yet.
Weren't happening yet?
No, they weren't. None of those people were in San Francisco.
Okay.
they didn't get there until... I mean, they got there, but the Fillmore Auditorium was still our community playhouse. It was run and owned by Charles Sullivan. Okay, Charles Sullivan was kind enough to take a guy named Bill Graham under his wing. And when Charles Sullivan died mysteriously, was murdered, Bill Graham and a guy named Chet Helms and the Mime Troupe, they all did a gig at the Fillmore. And then evidently Chet Helms had a different idea of how he wanted to do his music to be presented. So him and Bill Graham split company. The Mime Troupe, of course, went off and did their thing. And so Bill Graham got a hold of the Film Auditorium. And then Chet Helms started a very famous place called the Family Dog, which was the alternative to the Film Auditorium, which was much looser. But the thing about the Fillmore, I got to say, they had such a diverse, when Bill got it going, he had such a diverse
musical lineup.
It was cool. I mean, he didn't cut anybody out from the neighborhood, and you guys weren't, because he knew that the bands that he was championing, they were basically really just learning
starting
to be professional. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I remember hearing them all, and knowing them all, and still friends with some of the guys today that are alive. I can sit and laugh with Yorma now about, because Yorma lived in an all-black neighborhood, literally, when he first got there. And, I told him, I said, the reason the guys liked you, man? And he said, why? He said, everybody was just so cool to me all the time. I said, because whenever they asked you, asked Yorma for something, or if he didn't have it, he said, hey, man, I ain't got it, but if I had it, it's all good. Yeah. It's just that sincerity about him that came through, where Yorma never seemed like a privileged guy. I mean, it's his nature anyway. So he's just somebody that fit in the neighborhood, and the Haight Ashbury, which was all mostly African American, when that was the place where everybody went, because they had the Victorian houses, which you could split in three levels and have
a couple of different families or bands or
groups of people. You could practice music in it, mostly. You could do whatever you wanted.
So was that a learning experience that whole time in San Francisco, that you were there before these bands came in, and then when they came in, how did that affect you?
Well, it affected me a lot, because me and some of my friends, I'll put it like this: when I was playing music in the Fillmore, and it was known as the Harlem of the West, that we could play literally little clubs 5 nights a week. Okay, when the hippies came, that changed. not just because of that, but because they passed a law called redevelopment, where they wanted all of us to move out of the Fillmore, and they wanted to move our Victorians. They moved all the Victorians to the Knob Hill and places like that, and said, "Oh, you can move back to the Fillmore, and it's going to be all, we will have new housing for you." And when they moved us back to the Fillmore, it was all projects, so it was a different thing. So not only was that was going on, but we our school, our playhouse, our YMCA, everything was gone. And they said that the field and all the clubs, the Blue Mirror, Jack's nightclub where Duke Ellington played, and Charlie Parker and Billie Holiday, gone. Everything gone. And so we had to, when they started saying, "Oh, well, it's a high crime area." Well, let's see now. You took all of our culture, you took all of our music, you took all of our playgrounds, you took everything, and now you, what do you expect's going to happen?
What are we going to do?
Even the barbecue pits, even the hickory pits were gone. Wow. It was just moving back into another whole thing. And
so did that translate any way to your musical career?
Well, yeah, because I had to adapt. And fortunate for me that I was born in San Francisco, to where even when I lived in the Fillmore, a big part of the Fillmore was made up of Japanese, African-American, Chinese, Jewish, mainly. And so I spent as much time at the JCC as I did at the YMCA, even more time. Wow. So, I mean, I grew up You know, so I grew up in a diverse situation. And I don't know, for shits and giggles, my father sent me to Catholic school for 6 years. Mm. You know, so I'm going to Catholic church on Sunday, and then come out in the morning and go to Baptist church on Sunday evening.
Wow.
So, you know, I got literally a taste of a lot of cultures, which I tell everybody I feel really fortunate. And another thing about San Francisco was, at that time, you could walk anywhere in the city and nobody said, oh, you can't go over that. There's Mexicans over there. There's black guys over there. There's Chinese. That never, you know, that wasn't part of, you literally could go anywhere. And I was so glad as I got older and started living in Chicago a bit when I was 19, Detroit, different places where, you know, I mean, it was like World War III in certain places, you know.
Well, it's really interesting how the places and the experiences that you just described, to me, I can put that with your musical career. And it's kind of amazing how you bounced around in different musical styles, and people pigeonhole you as a blues artist, but there's more rhythm and blues and more soul in your music than anything else. And people like to call things by what they think they know, and will call your music blues music. But it's really an amalgamation of all the places and experiences that you've had with different styles of music coming into your life. And then as you mature and musically grow, they seem to be coming out of you.
Yeah, and you know, also, my father may have been from Mississippi. I've been to Mississippi, but I'm not a Mississippi guy. I lived in Chicago. I played with Otis Rush in Chicago. I played with Charlie Musselwhite in Chicago in 69. But I'm not a Chicago guy. When those gigs were over, I hightailed it back to California. Because at that time, you know, it was a different Chicago than it is now. But right. Then it's still rough in certain areas. Mm. But I feel like...
Well, Joe, let me ask then. Mm-hmm. Do you consider yourself a New Yorker now?
No. No.
No kidding.
Well, you know what? I'll be honest, and I hope I don't sound cliche. All right.
Come on.
Cliche, but since I have been afforded the opportunity to travel all over the world, everywhere from Beijing, China, to Shanghai, to Costa Rica, to you name it, I consider myself a citizen of the world.
Thank you.
You know, I really got to be honest. I don't feel like I have to be jingoistic and, you know, protect my government's profile or whatever their beef of the day is.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I have to protect everybody in my race's profile because, we're not a monolith. You know, when I was growing up and seeing Jimi Hendrix, you know, it might have been four or five brothers in the club. Okay, yeah. So and then it changed. But Jimmy had to go through hell to get there, you know. So I know I've seen it. I've seen it and I've experienced it. You know, that's why when I came to blues, back to blues in '85, it was perfect timing for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because not only was I coming doing my thing, which wasn't traditional. I had that another young brother was out there I didn't know, named Robert Cray, was doing his thing. Another young partner of mine from Texas was doing his thing, Stevie Ray. And so it was a different type of thing. Yeah. I mean, literally, you could hear all three of us and know that we all three sounded different.
Yeah.
We all totally three different. Sounded different, and we all could throw down, you know. And I'm not putting myself on a pedestal with Stevie Robert, but as far as being original and you know, you play a Joe Louis Walker from 1986 or 92, and you play 10 other records, and you say, boy, that guy's pretty original.
Yeah. Yep. You'll know your guitar playing, your vocal style stands out and shines above the rest. Joe Louis Walker is going to be performing at the Town Crier tomorrow night. It's an 8:30 show, so make sure you get tickets and information by visiting towncriercafe.com. And Joe, where else are you going to be? What else you got coming up?
Well, we're going to be at the White Mountain Boogie Festival.
New Hampshire?
Yeah, New Hampshire. Right. We're going to be different venues. You'd have to go on my website. I don't have it on in my hand.
Well, tell the folks the website.
It's called joelewiswalker.com, of course. And it will have the gigs that I am doing. Some of the gigs I'm doing with the big band, which is the horn section. Mm. And that'll be like White Mountain and several other things. And so it's getting back to being fun, you know.
Well, keep up the good work. Keep up the amazing mileage that you collect. And keep bringing joy to people, because that comes out of you, Joe. And it's a pleasure to see you play, to hear you sing. Recently, this past October, I got to see you perform, and, well, I had a tear in my right eye that just happened to fall, because you blew me away with what you were singing and the way it was emoting out of you. So keep up the good work, Joe.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, and thank you, everybody out there, and I really appreciate this opportunity. All right.
Joe Louis Walker, Town Crier Cafe in Beacon, tomorrow night, 8:30. Don't miss it. Towncriercafe.com, joelewiswalker.com, WKZE.com. Be right back with more musical diversity after these messages.